this is definitely Halloween season, a time that witches and cobwebs and spiders and bats and even evil clowns can bring about some pretty intense anxiety in some people who are predisposed to not enjoy those images. And I guess that's a good jumping off point for today's topic, which is topical. It's a treatment for anxiety.
Well, that, yeah, and it's time again where Halloween offers an opportunity to maybe whether we like it or not, in some ways face our fears or get in touch with things that we don't like in a format that can be fun. And in some ways that looks similar to what we know about how we help people with anxiety. And I know we've talked about this a bit before, but I think it's important to recognize that one of the greatest opportunities in Halloween is that we get to interact with things we're afraid of in different ways. Right? It gives us an opportunity to at least suspend sort of the normal rules about, well, spiders are bad and, you know, ghosts are scary and clowns, yes. And, well, I guess they're appearing all over now. But, you know, this idea that we have to, the only thing we can do when things we don't like are around is run away or push it away. And Halloween gives us an opportunity to maybe interact a bit differently. And that idea is really at the core of what we know now about how we can help people most when they're suffering with anxiety. You know, so much of what we focus on, and when I work with people with anxiety disorders, it's always about getting rid of it, right? Subtraction. We want to get this fear and get it to go away. But one thing we've noticed is the more we sort of research the mechanism for how those treatments work, is that getting fear to go away isn't always the best sort of course of treatment. Sometimes when we're doing good sort of work and exposure and anxiety, fear stays around a little bit. It kind of is a variable. It goes up, it goes down. But what's happening is not subtraction. It's not removing the fear. It's adding all sorts of different experiences with those things you used to fear. And so sort of an example of this was think about a snake, right? And when you think of a snake, what comes to mind?
A scary reptile that could bite me and hurt me.
Yeah, yeah. I have the image of the spitting cobras, you know, those mm-hmm. are ones that not even bite you, but they can spit the venom at you, or the giant, you know, 80-foot anaconda hiding in the lakes, you know, things like that. And, yeah, it's not uncommon that when we think about or get into, you know, get exposed to something we're scared of, that those functions, the things that come to mind are all the really, really scary ones. But it turns out that snakes have lots of other things about them, too. And if you spend time interacting with snakes, you can learn lots of other things about them. You know, some might, you know, be different colors, different lengths. Some snakes, I've been told, have personalities, and you can sort of see it come through. And what I'm suggesting here is that, you know, when we face our fears, it's not necessarily that we're just getting our fear to go away. We're learning lots of new things about the thing we were afraid of. That it's not just, well, the snake won't bite you, but it's also the snake is doing other things I didn't notice before. And this sort of new learning that can take place when we're getting in touch with what we're afraid of may be the mechanism that helps drive outcomes, helps people get over anxiety or learn to interact with things they were afraid of in new ways. And I think that, in some ways, is what we do a bit on Halloween, when we go out and see things that you know, are frightening and scary and fun.
So if I'm afraid of witches, and on Halloween I'm almost forced to deal with people dressed up as witches, I may still be afraid of them, but I'm forced to look at a more nuanced or holistic view of witches because I'm having to experience them in a happy, fun environment?
Well, maybe. And I, you know, I wouldn't say forced. I think it's more of a choice, right? That, you know, and one of the reasons here is that anxiety and fear tell us to run away. Right? If you sort of listen to what your fear tells you to do, fear rarely says, well, give this a shot and see, take a closer look, or, you know, explore this a bit. Right? Fear sort of does not engender that sense of curiosity or exploration. And so what this means is, for the most part, we're really good at as humans of pushing away what we don't like and what we're afraid of, which means we don't really learn anything about it. You know, and so in some ways, anxiety continues and it builds and it gets worse precisely because we don't have any contact with what we're afraid of, right? And so it can grow in your mind. And our mind's really good, at least mine is, and that's sort of blowing things out of proportion and going to the worst case scenario. So all this time we're afraid of something, we're not interacting with it, and our mind's telling us the worst about it. Right? And so exposure therapy, this idea of simply leaning into what we're afraid of, gives us an opportunity for that new learning, right? That there's a willingness to just at least see is what our mind tells us about what this is going to be like, and that witches will be, you know, scary or horrible, or they'll curse you, or all those things. Is that actually going to happen, or is it, wow, that's like a, I wonder how much money that hat actually cost, you know, or the hat isn't even that pointy, or that broom doesn't look very helpful at sweeping, right? We can learn some new things about it. And none of this is to suggest that, you know, anxiety isn't real or it's not scary. I mean, this is really, you know, at least when we experience it, it's really intense and it's scary. And you know, that's what our mind's telling us this is. It's not necessarily what the thing we're afraid of is.
So someone may still be afraid of snakes, but after spending time with them and learning more about them, it's that knowledge that lessens the fear enough to where they're able to interact with them when the situation arises.
Exactly. And I think when we talk about knowledge, what we're really talking about here is experiential knowledge, right? It's not just reading about it or thinking about it, because folks who are scared of things spend lots of times thinking about what they're afraid of. But it's one thing to think about something. It's a very different thing to do it, to get the experience of being there with it. And often what our mind tells us doesn't always fit what actually happens when we're there.
So then people who are afraid of flying, stands to reason the more times they're on an airplane, the more they're dealing with this situation, then they may still be afraid of it, but they're able to do it.
Sure. And over time, that fear may go down. It may go away. But it doesn't have to be the main focus. The main focus can be on, well, learning what's it really like. What is flying like? And learning, you know, there some flights might be more comfortable than others. Sometimes you get peanuts. Sometimes you get peanuts and cookies. You know, those sorts of things can happen. That all of a sudden, you know, the thing that was most salient about flying was death or fear or whatever it might be. But as you get practice doing it and are engaged and actually in that experience, all sorts of new things come to light, new functions, new ways of interacting take form. And that can, in many ways, help people. Maybe not have the fear go away completely, and that doesn't have to be the goal, but it can help folks do things that matter to them in their lives, flying to see a family member, a distant relative, flying for vacation. And you know, that's another piece of all of this, that oftentimes in sort of exposure, there's a value, something that matters, right? Because there are lots of things in the world that are just uncomfortable and unpleasant that may not be worth doing, right? I'm sure I could get better at, you know, crawling through sewers. I could. but right now my mind tells me that's a bad idea, and I'm okay with letting my mind sort of win out on that one. But other things I might be afraid of, you know, talking on the radio, you know, I can practice this because getting better at this means I can do something I care about, talking about, you know, how psychology affects our lives and hopefully providing some information that could be useful for folks who are listening.